So we're doing the Ran. Right, we left the Gemara, right? We did the Gemara a little bit yesterday. But I want to do the Ran. We'll do the Gemara through the eyes of the Ran. Maybe we'll come back to Rashi. So basically, the Ran is on Yud Gimel and Beis on the Daf Yaref. A paragraph from Umiyuk and Lameda, Ashmaitan. Okay. So he's saying the Ran notices a problem. Okay? Because here it says kapasik v'tani, it says here that it doesn't matter what the other generation and the sheni. Alma mashmalan the stam of the masni sanktani afi the sheni shel Avraham. So which means that the stam of the Mishnah is that it's even talking about on the second day of Yontif, even though it was the Rabban. I understand why it dried out the love is possible for the other days, because I need yavesh, and it's not. I need hadar. I need it to be beautiful. And dried out is the opposite of beautiful, right? The alma kol sheino hadar possible kol sheva. So you see that if it's not beautiful, it's lacking. It's possible all 7 days. So the psul of hidor you see is all seven. But the Gemara in Lamed Vav implies that Adar is only possible on the first day. Because it's talking about Esrog, which the Ma'is Eidah made holes in it. Amarav ain't Adar. This isn't Hidar. It's lacking in Adar, because there's holes in it. So it says, it asks, I, but Rav Chanina ate a bit of hole in it and ate it. Even though it had all on it, he used it for the love, even though it had all on it. So if you're telling me it's not Hadar, so how did he do it? Rav Chanina kashim asnisan, it's not chasar kashar pasal. Right, so you might ask, what do you mean? How did Chanina do it? The Mishnah says chasar is a pasal. Right, if it has a hole in it, it's pasal. Uparkina, nabi and the Rishon, nabi and the Sheni. Maski and Achi. So the Gemara concludes that it depends on the Rishon and the Sheni. Right, so what's saying is that the idea of a hole in it is really a lack in Hidor. Because it's aimed at Adar. Right? And that's the Mishnah that says, you know, how to take it. But yet, you see, he did take it. He used it even though it had all in. Is that going to be? So he's saying, Yamasa's answer is, and our answer is, the Antivision Antivisheni. Alma, be Antivisheni, will be in Adar. So you see, Antivisheni, you don't need Adar. Right? You see, Antivisheni, you don't need Adar. So that's the question, is that you have a contradiction? Because the Gemara, this Gemara seems to be saying dry out a little as possible all 7 days. Dry out a little as possible all 7 days. Which means that you have a requirement of Hidor, of it being beautiful all 7 days, and therefore all 7 days is dried out, it's not Hidor, and it's possible. Yet when it comes to a Esrog with a hole in it, which the Gemara says, Rav says, Ein Zeh Hadar, right? Ein Zeh Hadar. So he's learning it's a den of Hidor, but yet the Gemara is saying that's only on the first day. So which one is it? Right? Which one is it? Is Hidor a problem only on the first day? Or is Hidor a problem on 7 days? Right? Resolves it. I mean, basically, the way they're answering the Gemara resolves it that Rav is right in Zahadar, and that's why you're not allowed to take an Esrog that has a hole in it, because it lacks in Hidor. But Yerchanina did it. Yeah, that's the Yom Tov Sheni. You don't need Hidor in Yom Tov Sheni. Right? So then that's the problem, because our Mishnah, the Agamara, seems we do need Hidor all of this. Right? So if you remember, Rashi yesterday was learning that the Gemara is adding in a new thing, which is Lekichatama, which is that it has nothing to do with the idea of Hidor, but Rav Chanina's thing, that's because it's not the whole, is because it's not a complete Lekicha. It has a hole in it. It's not a complete Lekicha. And that soul, Lekichatama, is only on the first day. But Hador is on the all 7 days. You know what I mean? And that's why the Gemara says only on the Rishon, is because it's not really Din of Hidor. It's really only Din of Kichatama. But Rav said in the Hador, oh, that's because there weren't the Maisei from it, or whatever, not because of Chaser. So the Gemara, according to the way Rashi was reading, is really up to Hador really is all 7 days. But the Gemara was saying is it's only a lack in Hador when the Maisei eat it. But if it just has a hole in it, it has nothing to do with Hadar. That's not a Kichatama, and that's only on the first day, so it's not a problem. It's no contradiction, because Hadar is all 7 days, Kichatama is the first day. But Rashi has to add in that this Gemara, the Gemara just says in the Hadar is the Hadar. It's only talking about Hidar. It's not talking about Kichadama. It doesn't say anything about Kichadama. So the Ron's just reading more straight. Rav says this is not Hadar. So it says, so how did Rav Hanina use it? So the answer is, I'll tell you how he used it, because it was Hanan Tosheni. Right? Hanan Tosheni. Right, so he's in a certain sense learning the Gemara is simple. He's not adding in another thing called the Kichatama. But in doing so, the only soul which is on the table is Hadar. So it turns out the Gemara's resolution is that Hadar only falls on the first day, which is this contradiction to our Gemara, which is that Hadar is on all seven, even for all seven. Right? Well, where does Rashi enter the Kichatama? Because it says, Rav says that if you have a whole Esra, the mice ate it, it's aimed at Hadar. Right, so it says, but Rav Hanina used it. He bit out of it and he used it. Right? Fine. Then the Gemara says, but what do you mean? But Rav Hanina himself, how did he do it? It's against the Mishnah. The Mishnah is a apostle, right? So the Gemara says, no, according to Rav Hanina, he could explain the Yantav Rishi Yantav Sheni. Right? So what does that mean, Yantav Rishi Yantav Sheni? So that's where Rashi says, I'll tell you Yantav Rishi Yantav Sheni, because Rav Hanina will say the Mishnah is only a psal of the Kichatama. And that's only in Yantav Rishi. But in Yantav Sheni, you could use it, and that's why he was able to do it. I mean, but what about Rav? Right? So why did what Rav is saying is it seems to be he's making a din of Adar, in which case it should be a din of Sahara. How does he explain how Rav Hanina ate it if he holds it as a din of Adar, that a hole in it has a din of Adar? So then my answer is no. What Rashi learns is that no, really Rav would agree, but he says not Adar, not because there's holes, it's not Adar because of the war, because of the mice. You know what I mean? But so Adar really is a psu all 7 days, but the case is the holes is not really Adar, not Adar problem. It's a Kirtama problem. Right? I mean, we have to define at some point is having a hole in it a problem of Adar or not? That's like kind of, right? For instance, Rashi's learning a hole in it isn't a problem of Adar. It's not lacking in beauty. If it has mice holes in it, that's disgusting. That lacks in Adar. But just holes, that's not Adar. That's Kichatama. It's not Adar. Right? It's not a complete Lekicha because it's missing something, but it's not a lack of Adar. But the Ron is learning that there's a lack in Adar. Holes in it. You know, so that's something we're going to have to define. But that's again. So that's how Rashi is sidestepping the whole problem by saying is that basically the Gemara is backing off and then holes and saying that holes have nothing to do with other holes is with the Kichatama, and therefore holes only applies on the first day. Right? The Hadar is where the mice ate it, and that in fine does apply all 7 days. So it's consistent that a Hadar really is all 7 days. He doesn't have the problem. But the Ron again is not willing to say that this is changing course. Now it's talking about the Kichatama. The whole Gemara only says Hadar. So it's talking about Hadar. And it has holes in it, it's a problem of Hadar. So how do Chanina do it? Oh, because Hadar is only on the first day. So that's why that was on the second day. Right? Oh, so then you have a problem. It's just that Gemara says Hadar is on the seventh day. All 7 days.
And
it's more says
only the first day.
It's more says only the first day. So up and stare. You know what I mean? It's funny, it's like when you read Rashi, this is what I was having a hard time. Every time I look at this, I just get confused a little bit. But that's when you read Rashi. You know, you used to read the Gemara with Rashi straight. You read Rashi, you don't even see there's no problem, maybe. And realize Rashi's pulling a fast one by just slowly inserting into the Gemara, you know, subtly inserting into the Gemara. It's the Kichatama deal. The Gemara doesn't say that in any way, and the Ron's just learning it straight. So, look, you can learn like Rashi, but the Ron's not doing that. He's just learning it straight. So, Simple Pshat is talking about Hadar, in which case you have a problem. Okay? Good. That's why I just felt like it's better. So in a certain sense, I feel like it's easier. Let's just deal with the Ron first. Let's find him first. Because he's just learning the Gemara straight. Then we'll see what Rashi is adding a whole new complicated thing about. You know, in a certain sense, the Rashi is easier because he avoids the problem. But I mean, he's adding in all. It's more complicated. You have the Hadar, the Kichatama. You have to figure out what the difference is. Rashi, according to reading Rashi straight, the Gemara is fine. It's no problems. It's not Hadar, but there's only the first day. And the Gemara is just, you know, in its own right, it's very simple. It's just the problem is a contradiction. Okay. Is there a question? Okay. So what is my answer? I'm the wrong answer. So the wrong says, Yesh Lomar the Enachanami. Okay. Really, it's true. The B'sheni Nami B'yin Hadar. Okay. Really, you do need Hadar on the second day. You need Hadar all the days. Right? Behind your timer. So then if you need Hadar all the days, that's why Yavesh is possible when it's dried out. So hi, the kasha is, then why is the esrog with holes in it kasha on the second day? Right? Because there's only one little part of it that has a hole in it, but the whole rest of it is a beautiful esrog. It just has one little hole. Mashena can be yavish and not kol hadra, but when it's dried out, the entire thing is disgusting. Lacks an adar. Okay? You with me?
Yeah,
any hole. Whenever it has a hole, he's saying when it has a hole in it, it's only disgusting on the part which it has a hole. But the rest of it is a good looking esrog. It's not like a dried out, disgusting esrog. It's a good looking esrog. It just has a hole in it. Some rodent. So the right, that's what Yishami says. Is because dead, it's a drash, but it says that dead people can't give praise to God. So it's a drash, it's like a dead lulav can't give praise to God, which means that the lulav is a vehicle of shevach. Right? And if it's yavesh, then it can't be a vehicle of shevach. It's disgusting. The whole thing is like a mace. It calls it a mace. If you see a mace, the whole thing is a mace. It's not partially a mace, it's a mace. But a hole in it is just a hole in one little part. Hilkach gara tvei. Therefore, it's much worse because it's like totally dried out. Totally, everything's possible. So when it holes in it from the achbarim, the mice, then you still have hadar from the other part of it. The rest of it, that which is remaining, is still hadar. Then the Gemara says, Rav said, it is hadar, right? Because he changed his mind. There's a different Gersa says that Rav says it is Hadar. It is Hadar. Even though it has holes in it. I'm laughing at the anyway, in Hadar. Hell of the Ka'amar to Shapir Mekai Me'adar. There's no Mekai Me'adar. So in other words, the Gemara is not. I guess he's learning. I think the Ron here is doing a subtle dig against Rashi. Okay? Subtle dig against Rashi. Because the Gemara has. There's two girsas. The first one says Rav is saying it's hadar. It's not hadar, and therefore it's possible. And the second girsa says no, it is hadar. Ze hadar, and therefore it's kasher. Like apparently he was misafak. Different girsas whether he held consider a lack of hadar if the mice be bite into it, right? So according to what he's saying, the gemara is good because you have the thing is it's still a nice esrog. It just has holes in it. So part of it is lacking its niceness. The other part of it is nice. So that's the Gemara going back and forth. The different Gersas is the Dima Shonos. First, the Gemara is saying it's not Adar. It's lacking in Adar, and therefore it's possible on the first day. Still good on the second days, but it's possible on the, you know, possible on the first day. And the second Pshat is saying is no, it's Adar. It's not a problem altogether. Holes is not lacking either. Well, I'm sorry, holes is Hidar because since the rest of it is Mudar, that's sufficient. And as Gemara is considering, the second day definitely a little bit, the hole is not a problem because it's beautiful enough. So the Gemara is specific about the first day is a little bit of the Hadar, but then part of it is that enough or is that not enough? As Gemara is discussing according to him. But according to Rashi, that really, Gemara says, ain't the Hadar. Right? It's not beautiful. And then it says, aye, so then how could he do it? So it says, oh, no, the psul is really, really it is beautiful. The problem is, the psul is really psul v'kichatama. That's the psul. And that's why you can't take it on the first day. Right? But really, it has nothing at all to do with Adar. The holes has nothing to do with Adar. Right? So then, what's the Gemara saying? Zeh Adar? Is Adar? I don't know, but I guess Rashi will just answer. It's no, it's talking about, it's going back and forth. Definitely a hole has nothing to do with Adar. But the mice, that's what the mice is the question. The first pshat is saying mice is not Adar. And the second shot is saying, no, even the mice is still out there. That's how Rashi is going to learn. Yeah. Okay, so I don't know if he's trying to dig against Rashi. You can take it back. But fine. But that's the way the Ron. Ron's point. Yeah, no, it's not so good, actually. Because according to Rashi, it says, Zahadar means it's good, and therefore you could take it, even though it has a hole in it, because you see Rav Chanina did it, and he used it. And you see, he used it. I was just saying, you see, it's not a lack of Hadar. But according to Rashi, there was never an issue of a lack of Hadar. Let's leave it. Let's leave it alone. I think it's a question of Rashi, but let's leave it alone. Let's just go back to the Ram. Okay, so the Ram just summarized. The Ram's main point, he's just made one point, is that there's a difference between the yavesh, the lack of hadar of dried out, and the lack of hadar of a whole. Because when it's dried out, the entire thing is lacking beauty. The entire thing. But the whole, only part of it is lacking beauty, but the rest of it is still beautiful. Okay? So therefore it's worse, right? It's worse. Now therefore he's about to make his move. Okay, so therefore what? Bottom line is, okay, but do you need either on the first day or the seventh day? That's the original problem. Is either all 7 days or is it only one day? So now he explains how he answers. So he says, Umash only the Haimu Taima. This is the reason why. So he's basically claiming is that so if it's Yavesh, that's the difference, is that when it's dried out, there's no hidur whatsoever, then it's possible all 7 days. But when it's this partial hidur, or it's the hidur partially because there's holes, then that's only possible on the first day. But on the other days, that's okay. Okay? And he's going to explain. The haimu taima. Shilu amra Torah befirish neka v'chaser kol shu possible. If the Torah openly said, a hole is possible. Okay? And esrog of the hole is possible. Apishen shel devrahem, hayinu possible also. And we would have possible it even in the Shani. The Kultig and Rabbanah came to Raisa Zikin. Because the Rabbanah models after the Raisa. And the Raisa is saying this is a Psal and Asrog. And Asrog is the whole. And it is a Psal and Asrog. And the Rabbanah can say also the same thing. Avalakotu lo parot behadar klom. The Torah didn't say hadar, any specifics of Hidor. It didn't say if it has a hole in it is possible. Ela sasam. The Amar shetehe mitzazumu deres. Rather, it just closed it up, left it vague, and just says this mitzvah should be hadar. Okay, that's all it said. This is Mitzvah Shviyadar. Humasra l'chachamim, and gave it to the chachamim to interpret. Okay? Ubevadai, shekosha mitzvah chamura yoser. So definitely, as long as the mitzvah is more chamur, the more chamur the mitzvah, yishtah hachmir in b'hadar, we're going to be more machmir in hadar. The more stringent the mitzvah, the more machmir we're going to be. Ulfikach kimil chamim b'chlal, shebeshel devrayim, kishel Torah. Therefore, the chachamim said that in the general idea, it's basically like the Torah, that you need Hadar. Out of the front of Ein Abedin, but in the particular is not. Particular is not. They're basically saying that the Torah left Hadar vague. Didn't specify, just left it open-ended, give it to the Ham. So therefore the Rabban said, is that when it's totally lacking Hadar, Yavesh, then forget it, and it's possible, even though the Rabban, because it's not Hadar, there's no Hadar whatsoever, zero Hadar, so you need Hadar. But when it's talking about where it's kind of a little bit hadar, right? Some of it is hadar, like the holes. So what they said is that in the deraisa, which is very chamor, that's not enough. It's not enough, and it's going to be possible. In the darabanan, which is more lenient, so then they'll say that's sufficient. As long as a little bit of it is hadar, then that'll be enough. That'll be enough. Right? That's what he's saying. Kein deraisa would be is like if there's a difference, is an open halacha, then it has to be mild kein deraisa. But here it's kein deraisa that there's adar. The psul of adar is kein deraisa. That the deraisa has adar, the darbana has adar. But the particulars, that's what he says, the klal, the general halacha is the same. But the particulars of how you implement it, that's different. That's what he's saying. Since the Torah left it open ended, they had the right to just differentiate in the particulars. As long as the klal is the same. The klal is you need adar, and therefore yavish is going to be possible. I think he's going to learn. I think the way the Ram's going to learn. I think he's going to learn that the saying basically, Zehadar means that an Esrog which has a hole in it partakes of Hidor. And therefore you're allowed to use it on the second day. That's the second Lashon. Right? That it has Hadar and therefore you can use it on the second day. But the first Lashon is saying, In Zehadar. Means it has no hadar. That's talking about because it has achbaran, the ma'aseh from it. So the ma'aseh from it, then it has no hadar. Then it has no hadar, and then you can't use it altogether in any days. But if it does no ma'aseh, it just has holes, then that's the Mishnah. And it's good on the first day, and it's bad on the, you know, it's bad on the, sorry, it's bad on the first day, and it's good on all the other days. So the question is, between the first and the second, the gut lashon, is the mice different? Does the fact that it's mice make it lacking? That seems the question, according to him. Is if it's the mice in it, does that make it a zero hadar? Or the mice is the same thing as just any other hole? First, you're held that mice ain't the hadar. The mice is already disgusting through and through. It's like Yavish. You know, it costs all the 7 days. Whereas the second Gersa is saying, it's a Hadar. Basically, it's not differentiating between the mice and the not. Basically, it's just the whole. So Hadar, so it has Hadar, and it's going to be good on the other Shani. Alright? Good question. Yeah, it's not going to affect the main eye. I mean, we should define the difference between those. You know, but it doesn't affect the main idea. Okay. Funny idea. Okay, that's true. So Danny's mentioning a problem. It's a funny way to say that. In Esrog, part of it is still beautiful. I mean, it's a holy Esrog. Right? I mean, you really look at it that way, that it's like part of it is and part of it isn't. Right? What sense is that? It's a funny way to look at it, right? Okay. Yeah. So, I think a good thing to define, okay, it would be nice if we could do, I mean, there are different ways to go here, a lot of things going on, but one thing to define I think would be important in the Ram is what's the definition of Hadar on the Oraisa level, and what's the definition of the Hadar requirement of Hadar on the Darabana level. Right? I mean, that's what he's trying to basically setting up. So, the old Torah said is Hadar, and the Chachamim real, you know, split it up, that there's the Hadar that you need for Yom Rishon, and there's the Hadar you need for the other days. The Hadar necessary in the midst of the Raisa, and the Hadar necessary in the midst of the Rabban. The Raisa, you need to have totally Hadar, even holds the problem. The Rabban, as long as you have it in part. Can we, like, define that better than just saying the whole or the part? Like, what's the deficit? What's the requirement in the Raisa? What's the requirement in the Rabban? Such that Yavesh is possible in both, Dried Out is possible in both. But the holes is only going to be possible on the Raisa, and not in the Darabana. You know what I mean? Okay. Yeah, so maybe it means that there's a difference between the definition of a thing and the property of a thing. Okay? So according to, when by the Raisa, the definition of the object is to be a beautiful object. Okay? A beautiful object. Okay, for it to be a beautiful object, if there's any pagam whatsoever, right, any lack in beauty, anything, a hole in it or whatever, that then you can't define it as a beautiful object. Okay, but then there's another idea of something which like has a property of beauty. Okay, it doesn't mean that's its definition. It's not. Oh, definitionally, if you just say that this is like the beautiful object, it means like it's like through and through. It's like a. Part, it's like every angle of it, every side of it, it's totally beautiful, there's nothing wrong with it. But then you could have something like it has a hole in it, so it has a property of beauty, because you could see there are characteristics of beauty in the thing. The parts of it which don't have holes in it, it's the yellow and the bumpiness and the shape and the whatever, you know. It's just that it also has these holes in it, so it takes away, you can't define, it like has both. It's characteristics of beauty and characteristics of, you know, which lack. So the idea is, so they're saying it has the quality of other. That's what I'm saying, is in the Darabanan, they demanded that the property of other exists. But they relaxed the degree to which it exists. But the degree is like a quality. It doesn't have to be defined as a chafza shahada. That's like part of the identity of the thing. It's other. But it's sufficient if it just exists as a property. You know, as a property, as long as it's a mixus of it has it. Part of it has it, it still exists. You can still give it a status, a shame of other. But it's not identified as such. You know, it would be like as a mundane example, it would be like, let's say, by a beautiful woman or something. You say like a model has to be like, that's like her, this is, you know, taken in its context. It's like, that's her definition. She's like a beautiful woman. It's like her identity. Okay, she has any pagam, any anything, she's not going to be a model. Okay, every feature has to be perfect. That's because that's what she is. She's a model. She is. That's showing off beauty of a, you know, that's like this was her identity. But it doesn't mean that a woman, just to say a woman has beauty, because a woman could have certain features good, certain features not so good. But you'll say, look, she has a property of beauty. She partakes of beauty just because not ever, just because she could have one, you know. One feature that's not so good, but the other features are beautiful. So she could partake of beauty. Beauty could still be something which could exist in, you know, in properties. You know, she could have nice eyes, but she has whatever. You know, like they have properties. But you wouldn't like define her as a beautiful woman. A beautiful woman is someone with everything, not just nice eyes, it's overall. It's an overall feature. You know what I mean? So like the idea of beauty, a certain thing could exist. Certain thing could exist as a property, but when it becomes all encompassing, it could take on like its whole identity.
Just so we have it on the tape, which category do you think of?
So I think it's interesting. It's like the idea of like I remember last time I did Sigyas on the last org. It's like I feel in a certain sense it's funny like to make a reference to, you know, like beautiful women or whatever as an example. But I think like when you're dealing with a halacha, you're dealing with the sugya of hadar. You know, and hadar is beautiful. So like you're dealing like in any area of halacha, you take the, it deals with the categories. Beauty is a aesthetic phenomenon that we have an intuition about. You know what I mean? And now halacha is making it concrete and, you know, and defining it based on the categories and, you know. So, like, in a certain sense, like, you have to get in touch with the ideas and the concepts of beauty that are in your mind. You know, and, like, I guess our realm of experience, we don't really talk about beautiful fruit. It's not, you know, it's not our world. Maybe, a botanist can do that kind of thing and whatever. But, like, you know, the normal world, like, we're familiar with these categories in regard to women or, you know. So that being the case, is like it's same categories. So just using the categories, sometimes like examples, you know, help you hook into the categories of the thing. And halacha works that way. I mean, it's when you're dealing in an area, and so whenever I do sugyas, I notice this. It's like specifically like hadar sugyas, kind of have to get into the area of what beauty is and define the concepts of beauty and what are the different facets which go into beauty. You know, it's like in every area halacha comes in with an analysis and really brings out different components. You understand more about beauty if you do a sigyon on an esrog than if you go to some fashion institute or whatever it is. You know, because you really define the underlying concepts of the thing. You know, and the same with any area in halacha. Yeah, synthesis. Yeah, right. Synthesis. You define begotten exactly. Yeah, right. Yeah, all the concepts of begotten come out. The clothing come out. You study the sigyon and synthesis. And all the concepts of the eating come out when you study machal sasuros. You know, trefing. You know. I mean, that's partially, I think partially why is like halacha really changes you to think or to live rationally and to make rational decisions. It's like it's like be able to make good decisions in life becomes based on the ability to think clearly and, you know, see, define things clearly in every area of life. And like in halacha, you really have to think clearly in any area which halacha comes upon. You have to come out, you know, define your categories, think categorically, rationally, precisely. So it's like when you live your life, I mean, it's not, you're not defining a halacha sugya, but I mean, decisions in life, you know, demand clear thought, clear thinking. You know, it's like part of the halachic system is like it forces you to think clearly in every single different area, every single category, every single, you know. It's interesting. Okay, so now according to the Ran, as a part of it, the rest of it is beautiful. But that's what I was saying, if it's yavesh, if it's dried out, then it doesn't even have the property of beauty. It's a mace, like that's what the Ran says. It's like the mason, it's like a mace, it's dead. There's no beauty whatsoever. A mace is no beauty. You take a mace, if you have a person in your eyes, there's no beauty to that mace. And it's like a mace, it's like nothing, it's zero beauty. So that is the Rabbanan, so the Raisa is Potorsis Mahadar, Piyat Hadar. So how can you take a mace? How can you take a yavish? There's zero beauty whatsoever. It's totally removed from the framework of beauty. There are ice, there are bond, who cares? But if one has a hole in it, so it partakes of beauty. So the ice, the chamim or mashayah, that when it comes to the ice, they demand the fullest, the definition of thing is beautiful, then you need this to be possible. But there are bond, and it just has the property of beauty, so then even if it has a hole in it, it still has the property of beauty. It's interesting what the Ran saying is, like the Torah didn't define it. It's not. He's not saying the Torah defined it X, and then the Rabbi. So you could have said this. It's like kind of the way the Tosfos is learning that the Deraisa definition is that it's defined as an object of beauty, and the Rabbi as definition, and the Rabbalan came the Deraisa. They just modeled it and just took it like halfway. It's enough to be a zecher, like that Tosfos. To be a zecher, it's enough if it just partakes of it. You know, so Tosfos didn't say it about this, but like that's his tight way of thinking about it. You know, it's like there's a Deraisa, and then the Rabbalan kind of take the main things. But the Ran is like saying a new idea. It's like, and I'm not sure why this is, but he says the Torah didn't really define what Hadar means. It left it open to the Chacham. It just says Hadar. And the Chacham have to use their Chachma to figure out what that means and all the parameters and to determine the system. And when they're doing that, they realize, well, in the Deraisa and the Rabbanan, they're different. There's the Rabbanan, they're different. And the way we line up and we formalize Hadar is going to depend on the Deraisa and the Rabbanan. Which is interesting, he's holding, is that the Torah didn't really say what Hadar means. It's like the Chum determined it. God didn't say, what does Hadar mean? Hadar means it can't be dried out. Hadar means that I can't have a home. Hadar means, he's saying, it's like God didn't say that. God has to be Hadar. and it left it to Bali Mesora to codify what that means. It's interesting. I mean, you do come across that from time to time. Like, I think by Kippur, there's a thing like that. Some of us say, Old Inyanim Adoraisa, but the Torah gave it to Chum to figure out what takes away, you know. You know, there's definitely the affliction, which things take it away, and they're about, you know. And I think there's also, yeah, by Chol HaMoed. I think some say about Malacha and Chol HaMoed. It's like Adoraisa, there's Mr. Malacha, but the Torah gave it to Chum to determine which things are and which things aren't. So you do have a fun time, but it's kind of funny. I don't really understand why the Torah would do that. Like, oh, it's the, you know, strange, you know, it's not normally the method which Allah operates with. Somehow I have an intuition that it has something to do with that. It's Shavach, the difference of Shavach, but it's not an ordinary mitzvah, but I don't see exactly why that would result in this fun. And still, why should that be still? So tell me the parameters. Why shouldn't the Torah define the parameters? Why should he give it over to the Chacham? But apparently he's holding, if the Torah did define the parameters, that's what the Ron's saying. I mean, he holds, the Torah defined the parameters and said you need Hadar, and Hadar means an object whose definition is a beautiful object. Then the Rabbanon would say Kodoran came to Raisa, and they say also it means a beautiful object. They wouldn't change it. So he's holding, it's like the Raisa and the Rabbanon, why should it be different? If the Torah defined exactly what Hadar means, a beautiful object, through and through, the definition is beautiful, any lack in the Torah there's a lack, then the Rabbanon wouldn't come along and say, oh yeah, Hadar but lesser. The Shemal, exactly, the Ronkin, the Raisatikim. So he holds that the only way you could say there's a discrepancy between the Doris and the Rabbanon is if the Torah didn't really left it over to the Chachamim to figure out and to define. And since it left it up to them, it didn't set particular definite parameters. It left it up to them to use their Chachma. So they said, oh, well, when the mitzvah is a higher level of a mitzvah, so then it will make sense we're going to have a stricter definition of other one. It's a lesser level, it's a darabon, it'll have a lesser definition. You know, like, that's why, I see, like, why he wants to say lesser, you know, because why should there be a discrepancy between the darabon? But why it should be that the Torah did that, it's hard to, like, I understand why the Ron is saying that the Torah did that. But I don't know why backwards, like, why would the Torah do that, it's hard to understand.
Why are you saying
in their hands to define it, so, it was in their hands to define it, I guess it means that Hadar is a variable type of a thing. Lends itself to degrees and variations. And the Torah gave it over to them to define the parameters. So they held, apparently, this is a good distinction. Is it a Darais, is it a Darabana, is it a Mitzvah Chamorah, is it a Mitzvah Gala? And they said that the level of Hadar was going to be different by Darais and Darabana. That they held is, once Torah is giving it over to them, that's a valid thing to do, to differentiate, not just to treat them all equally. It depends on the level of the Mitzvah. It's not clear exactly why the rise of the Rabbanon is going to result in a higher or lesser than a Vidor, but I guess it's just treating it as a Chamura. It's like a more stringent mitzvah. So it's more stringent, they're going to be out in a higher, further demand. You know? I mean, it's worth thinking about to get better. Like, what's the sense? I feel like there's something. The definition of the rise of the Rabbanon thing are good, but like why the Torah would do it, or what's the sense of leaving it open-ended like that, is a little bit funny to me. It would be nice to understand better, but I don't understand it that much better. That's it. So if anyone has to think of something, that would be good. But let's turn to a further question. Exactly. That's what I'm going to take up now. Yes, the next point, yeah, good. So according to now, it's the Lishna Kama, Lishna Basha, the Gemara. According to the first Pshat, Lashon the Gemara, Rav was saying the mouse bit into it, Ein Zahadar. It means it's not Hadar at all. The Raisa or the Rabbanon. Nothing. It's zero Hadar. Right? And then the Gemara says, but Rav Chanina bit into it and did it. So it says, oh, yeah, Rav Chanina, that was on the second day. Yeah, but what about Rav? Rav says even the second day. So the Gemara says, oh, no, the mouse is different than a hole in it. A person biting into it is different than a mouse biting into it. A person biting into it just has a hole in it. Has a hole in it, so then it partakes of Hadar a little bit. So therefore you do it on the second day. A mice biting into it? Forget it. No Hadar. Zero, in Zahadar. The second Lashon says, no, Zahadar is that basically, even if the mouse went into it, bottom line is it's the same thing as like a Chanina, same as a person biting into it. And the point is, it still partakes of Hidur and the rest of it. Right, so the Machlokas in the Lashon says, do you say that a mice biting into it is exactly the same as a person biting into it? In which case you'll say, it's still Hadar in part of it. Or do you say, no, that when a mice bites into it, it's Ma'os, it's disgusting, and now it lacks in Hidur altogether. Maybe we could define that, you know, that question. You know? But I'm just going to say it. I mean, I'm thinking similar to what Max is saying. I just want to say it a little bit different. Is that that the question is, when you're talking about Hadar and the beauty, is it just go like a physical beauty, or does it even include like a psychological phenomenon, purely psychological phenomenon? Like the physical beauty of the Asrog is no different whether a person bit into it or a mouse bit into it. Same thing. It's the same beautiful bumps and yellow and whatever shape, but it has a few holes. So holes are holes. Right? In terms of the physical beauty of the thing, it's no different. So it's just like the eye, the way it, you know, so the eye relates to it. It's the same thing. But do you say that, or do you say like it includes also the psychological? And since psychologically a person knows that a mouse bit into it, and he like conjures up or picks like an idea of a mouse eating the thing, biting into it, it's disgusting. Like, people are grossed out by mice. So therefore that takes away from either of the things. You know? Like, that would include that framework, which is totally like an extraneous psychological thing. You know, where you say, either just looks at the object. It's kind of Danny, like what you were saying, that you just look at the object. The object itself is, we don't take into account the external associations that a person has. Like, it's not really disgusting, it just reminds a person of mice, and he, somehow in his mind, he can't ever separate the two out. Once it's, you know, once it has a mice, he thinks a mouse is disgusting. But to the eye, in terms of aesthetic, it's really the same thing. But the question is, like, is that, so Rav wasn't sure about, or the two of the Shana's work. Is that recognized in terms of Torah? Definitely recognizing phenomenon of the aesthetic, the idea of Hidur, but how far into it is it going? Not, you know, does that even register or not? That's what he's mystic about. You know, so if you say that you do does register, then basically a person looks at it as disgusting. It's like it's dried out. It's dried out, it totally looks disgusting. This thing may look nice, but a person simply can't see the nice features of the thing because all he can think about is the mouse, which is disgusting. You know, but if you say that we just look at it as a physical, we don't take into account like this psychological associations, and physically, same exact thing as a person bit into it. It has beauty, partakes of beauty. It's not 100% beautiful because it has holes, but it partakes of beauty, and then it'll be kosher on the second day. I mean, that's not for me. It's a kosher on the second day. The second day, we just need a little bit of beauty, by the property of beauty. If you say look by the physical, you know, by the psychological, then the disgustingness is going to totally undermine any beauty, any property of beauty. Right. But that's a kind of Lashon HaKama. The Lashon HaBasra says, no, it's the Hadar, means we look at totally in physical, and physical has that property. It is interesting, is you could argue, I mean, it's true, I mean, beauty is a psychological idea, but I mean, beauty is based upon there's a certain aesthetic appeal of the shape, like the objective properties of the object itself, which appeal to the eye in a certain way. It's the good and the gufa davar, the object itself, the shape and the color, you know, properties of the thing itself. In the mice, the mouse, is nothing about the thing itself which lacks in beauty. The chafza is the same beauty as the exact same chafza, but it's just like, it's purely in the based upon the associations that it brings to mind, which are totally extraneous from the physical appearance of the thing. There is like the physical beauty of the thing, but then there could be like an extraneous downer. You know, but it's extraneous to the physical thing. It's just like, so to speak, you know. So that's the question, is does that recognize? You could say the beauty isn't, it's the same thing. Look at it. Take a guy who doesn't like Max kind of said. It's like, take someone who doesn't know that it was mice. Don't tell him it was mice. Whatever. And it's just perfectly beautiful. So that's what it's thought, you know. Okay, so let's you think about it if you have any questions. But so what I'd like to do next, what's today? Tuesday? Yeah, so what I'd like to do tomorrow is between, well, it's Rashi, I guess. See, according to the Ran, so Hadar, having a hole in it, is a lack in Hadar, right? That's the whole category, it's a lack in Hadar. According to Rashi, at the end of the day, really, it has nothing to do with Hadar. Maybe the mice is a lack in Hadar. Without the mice, the hadar, the hole in it, is really a din of l'kichatama. Nothing to do with hadar. It's not a problem of hadar if it has a hole in it. Okay, and that's why hadar, according to Rashi, applies all 7 days. So why is the hole only 1 day? Oh, the hole has nothing to do with hadar. The hole is because of l'kichatama. So first of all, why doesn't Rashi hold that it's a problem of hadar? What's a machlokas Ran and Rashi? Is there's a whole problem in hadar? Is there a lack in hadar? You know, even the Ran, it's not totally not hadar, but it lacks in hadar. Rashi says, don't do the other altogether. There's no problem of other. Right? It's a different thing with Kichatama. So what's the machlokes whether it's a lack in other? And then what is Rashi's idea of Kichatama? That, you know, that is a problem. Then. What's that? You know what I mean? And I guess we have to learn the Gemara from Rav to Rashi, you know? Okay, that's the next step here. If he doesn't buy, Rashi doesn't buy this distinction between Dereis and Darabana. He says, in terms of Dereis, the idea of Hadar is because your Masker Shem Shemayim Allah, because he's using it for Shava. Therefore, who cares if it's Dereis or Darabana? The point is that when it comes to the Masker Shem Shemayim, the Din Shavach and Lulav is saying that it has to be Hadar. So I don't care whether it's Dereis or Darabana, it doesn't make any difference at all. So therefore, the difference is not because of Hadar, it's because of the Kirtama. Kirtama is a different idea, that's only Yom Rishon, not Yom Sheni. But so apparently he's going to have to hold that if it has a hole in it, it's not a problem of Hadar. So he says, if it were a problem of Hadar, then it would be a problem of all the days. So you usually learn that's not Hadar issue, it's a Kirtam issue. But the Ran learned it is a Hadar issue. The Ran had different levels of Hidor. But Rashi holds it's not a Hidor, holds it's nothing to do with Hidor. So apparently there's a machlokas of whether Hadar fall, you know, applies. So then Hadar applies to a Kasar. Or is it a whole different address of Lekir Hatama? So what's that machlokas and what's this whole different idea of Lekir Hatama? And then we have to just kind of run through the Gemara according to Rashi, the two Lishnas, and see if they're different or the same, how exactly they're going to work out. Okay?